You hear probably close to half of you that are here this morning were not here 11 years ago. And we have several teenagers who would have been here but were very young then. And the reason I say that is because the exhortation or sermon, if you want to call it, that I'm going to give this morning, I gave here 11 years ago. And I try not to repeat very often, but when you get to thinking about it, much of the things that we say, we repeat, don't we? And so I think that it would be good for us. We know that God controls the universe. He's the creator. Eventually, all will end according to His plan. But in this time period that we live in, God allows us, He has always allowed man to make his own choice, either to obey Him or not. And during this time period that we live in, Satan has great freedom. And Satan controls the world. That's not in conflict with what I said about God being in control. And when I say the world, as a whole, Satan controls the minds of the world. And we'll talk about that a little bit later on. And with that in mind, I'd like for you to think about the many people that we have in the world today that compete for control of your mind. I want to speak about mind control. Brainwashing, if you want to call it that. We just went up until Tuesday, we were bombarded with ads from politicians. Just drive you crazy if you were listening to the radio or watching television very much. I mean, to the point where you almost memorize the commercial if you continue to watch it. They want you to think what they have to say is right, so you will vote for them. We have activists, whether it's women's rights, civil rights, Black Lives Matter, you name it. There's a cause, there's an activist for it. And they want you to think the way they think. And, you know, the list goes on. One of the big things that we're having to deal with now that impacts us and impacts our pocketbook in a big way, because all of us use gasoline, is climate control activists who have taken over the political arena, okay? Cannot be denied. Right, wrong, or indifferent, it cannot be denied. They are controlling the minds of our politicians. Yes, the world is polluted. I mean, physically polluted. But that's not going to destroy the world. We as Christians know that. I have no fear of an atomic bomb or a nuclear bomb that may go off in different places, but it's not going to destroy the world. God's going to do that. So I would like for you to just follow with me with your mind for a few minutes, and let's think about what God wants us to think about, how God wants us to act, and how He wants us to obey Him. Several years ago, it was right before I gave this sermon the first time, maybe 12 years ago, I saw a little clip on television of a show that was on back in the 50s. And for you young kids, yeah, that's back when I was a little bitty kid. I was born in 55. There was a show on television called Candid Camera. Okay? And they would go around and they would catch people doing funny things or strange things. They'd be sued for that today, but it was a good show back then. And they had a short clip to show how people could be controlled in a matter of seconds without saying a word by other people. And what this scenario or this experiment, I'll call it was an experiment in an elevator. And they had three or four people in an elevator that were in on the experiment. And when it stopped on the next floor, when one or two people got in, everybody in the elevator turned around and looked at the wall. Well, you can imagine what the person that just got in the elevator thought. Well, what's going on? What are these people doing? And they got to feeling uncomfortable very quick. And they think, well, I'm not going to be left out. So they turned around just like everybody else and looked at the wall. Isn't that amazing? How we want to be like everybody else. It doesn't matter, you know, we throw caution to the wind sometimes. Does this make you think of things like hypnotism, brainwashing, as I said, or propaganda, maybe? Some of you younger kids may not understand what propaganda is. It's a big word, but actually it's simply information that is systematic and deliberately given out to people to change their point of view to what you want them to think. It used to be back during World War II, I think the United States, I know, was involved, and probably Japan too, but they would print millions and millions of little flyers on a piece of paper, and they would have a message on that piece of paper. They put it in an airplane, and they would fly over the enemy land, and they would just, all this paper would float down to earth, and people would pick it up and read it. It was an effort to change their mind to what they wanted them to believe. Okay? And it, to some extent, I suppose, worked. Well, I've learned myself that there's three ways that you can change people's minds. Now, there may be more. I'm not saying there's not. But they will surrender their will to you if they believe, if they truly believe it's in their best interest to do so. And isn't that the way we should be? If we're going to change our mind, or if we're going to do a certain thing, we should do it because it is the right thing to do. Number two, sometimes the pleasure of doing something overrides our knowledge that it's wrong. Or in other words, we might do something wrong, we know we shouldn't do it, but we do it anyhow. Well, we call that sin. Okay, but that's a reason that we would change our mind. And number three is simply force. People are forced to do things at times. So when we, back to number one, if we take a course of action, or we change our mindset and our actions because we truly believe we're doing the right thing, and we have been doing the wrong thing, what is the result of that? Well, number one, we have a huge sense of relief, don't we? We understand what we have done is wrong. Now I'm doing what is right. We have a burden lifted from our shoulders. People that are trained to interview or interrogate people can usually break a person down in pretty short order. There are exceptions. There are exceptions. But most people, deep down, want to tell the truth. Deep down. Unless they are very jaded people. And we do have those in this world. But the trigger is, the person talking to them has to know what the trigger is. They have to learn what will cause them to tell the truth. Okay? It may be your mother would want you to not tell a lie. Something as simple as that. Or it may be you may appeal to something else. And the way to do that is find out how that person, what breaks that person down. Does this sound like the military or a POW camp to you? What does a psychologist or a psychiatrist get paid big money to do? They get paid to get to the truth of a problem, don't they? And to try to help someone. Okay? We must actually surrender our mind and our will to God, or we will be lost. We must allow God to control our mind. Okay, so I haven't given you a single Bible scripture yet, have I? And I don't talk without doing that. We're going to get to that. But mind control has happened to everyone who has ever lived, including you and me. And it's very easy to prove that. Do you ever get hungry? Do you start thinking about food? And the longer you go, the more you think about it. Are you ever in pain? And that's all you can think about if you're in extreme pain until you get some relief from that pain. That pain is controlling your mind. Are you concerned about your children? Of course you are. Are you, those of you that have teenagers that have are about driving age, do you remember how you felt whenever they drove off in their car for the very first time and you weren't with them? Did you have a little anxiety there? Sure you did. Okay? Our basic needs, survival, food, and shelter, are high on the list of controlling us. But Jesus told us, don't even be controlled by that. Yes, it's a thought. Yes, it's a necessary thing. But in Matthew, the 6th chapter, verse 25 through 34, he talked about the things of life. He talked about the physical things of life. He talked about how God takes care of even the birds and the animals. Won't he take care of me and you? Of course he will. We are not to be controlled by our environment. We are to be a part of the church. We are to be controlled by God and the church, we might say. Let's look at Romans chapter 6, verses 17 and 18. Paul's telling the Romans here, he talks about how their past life compared to their new life. And he likens it to slavery and freedom. Verse 17, but God be thanked that though you were slaves of sin, yet you obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine to which you were delivered. And having been set free from sin, you became slaves of righteousness. So we see that whoever we obey, we are the servant of that person. Or in this case, we are the servant of either Satan or the servant of God. And what did Jesus say about his burden? His burden is light. His yoke is light. His burden is easy. What about sin's yoke? What about Satan's yoke? It weighs people down and it right into the ground. It's a heavy load that we can't bear. Let's talk for a second about force in religion. Does that sound like an oxymoron to you? Force in religion? Don't think it is. The forces of good and evil ultimately are really the only two forces there are, because all good is controlled by God, all good is from God, all evil issues from Satan. We're told Satan is a liar, he's a deceiver, he's the father of lies. Okay? So in our lives, I think there's a place, you might say, for force, or we could say willpower. Some people are stronger willed than others. That's just by nature, that's how we are. There's nothing wrong with either side of that. But as an adult, is anyone other than you ultimately going to force you to do God's will? No. We train our children. We do all we can to supply them with what they need, and we hope that they will grab a hold of it and take it. We can't force them to do that, though. But as an individual, don't you have to exert some force to make your will when you want to overcome sin? Before you're a Christian, okay, before you were baptized, those of you who have been, it took some effort, didn't it? It took some force of your will, of your own self, to obey the word. So it's the forces of fear, of will, of commitment, and dedication, and love for God that we obey. I think we all start the walk, a Christian walk, in a sense, by forcing ourselves to do what's right out of fear. If there's no fear of death, if there's no fear of punishment, why obey? But then as we grow older, as Christianity is perfected, we understand what God has done for us, we obey Him out of love. And it's a growing process. We need to encourage each other to do that as much as we can. When we allow God to control our minds, we can fulfill Romans chapter 6, again, verses 12 through 14. Paul says here, therefore, do not let sin reign in your mortal body. That takes effort, that takes force, doesn't it? Don't let it happen. That you should obey it in its lust. And do not present your members as instruments of unrighteousness to sin, but present yourselves to God as being alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness to God. For sin shall not have dominion over you, for you are not under law, but under grace. What did God tell Cain whenever he said, where's your brother? And Cain, of course, says, I don't know, which was a lie. Am I my brother's keeper? What did God tell him about sin? He said, sin lies at the door, but you should overcome it. It's in Genesis chapter 4. Verse 7. So the Lord said to Cain, why are you angry, and why is your countenance fallen? If you do well, will you not be accepted? He's got a choice here, right? And if you do not do well, sin lies at the door, and its desire is for you, but you should rule over it. We are to have control of our mind over sin, and we can do that with God. And God would not tell us to do that if He did not give us the ability and the information to do that. Sin is waiting to overtake us. In Matthew, the 4th chapter, also Luke, the 4th chapter, the same record, Christ was directly confronted by Satan after fasting for 40 days in the wilderness. Now think about the boldness of Satan, okay? Here is Satan, who was cast out from heaven, condemned for everlasting eternity to hell, and he still tried to get the master to sin and obey him. How did Jesus refute him? Through the knowledge of the scriptures. Satan quoted scripture to Jesus, and Jesus used the scripture to overcome that. It's impossible for Satan to overcome your mind and your heart if you are seeking to obey God. James chapter 4, verse 7. Therefore, submit to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Have you ever thought about that verse when you've been tempted and you know maybe you shouldn't do anything, and like I said before, your desire is overriding your knowledge. Your desire to do it's overriding your knowledge that I shouldn't do this. And you think of this passage or something like it. It works. Good is stronger than evil. Give yourself to God, and Satan cannot stand. Paul said in Philippians 4 and 13, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. We can overcome. We can have control of our mind. We have the Holy Spirit within us to strengthen us and guide us in our daily walk. So, an outsider might think, well, If you just give your whole mind to God, if you just obey everything He says, then you're not looking at science. You're not looking at all the things that we've discovered. You must just be a bunch of ignorant people. Because you've continued to do the same thing for the last 2,000 years. And that's serve Jesus Christ. Well, I think that those who say such things don't understand, and those of us who do follow God understand that we can ask any question you want. I'm not afraid of any scientific question. I may not know the answer, But I know that God gives me all the answers I need for salvation. You know, we really don't have, even the smartest people in the world, they don't have a lot of answers. They think they know where the universe came from. They think they know this. They can't explain dinosaurs, can they? Not really. Well, I can. It's in the book of Genesis. Okay? The very simple things, God has confounded the minds of the supposed wise people of this world. I know through faith that I don't have to understand all of the things that people of the world want me to understand. God operates with us on a need-to-know basis. Have you ever thought about that? God is not going to tell us everything we might want to know. We might find it out after this life. We might not. But think about this. Abraham and Moses and the prophets, David, they had no idea what we are doing this morning. They had no idea the church was going to be established. They knew that there was going to be a Redeemer come, but that's about it. They didn't know about the system of the church. They didn't need to know. It wasn't time yet. God did not burden them with that information. They didn't need it. Solomon didn't even know. God shows us what he wants to, when he wants to. In Ephesians chapter 3, verses 1 through 9, Paul told the Ephesians that Christ has now made known to his holy apostles and prophets through the Holy Spirit that salvation had come to the Gentiles. Okay? When God opened, when the Jews rejected it, the gospel, and God opened that up to Cornelius at first in the Gentile nation, then it was revealed. First to Peter, through the vision on the housetop. So when God does reveal things to you, and He will if you study His Word, there's a reason He gave that knowledge to you. There's a reason God wants to control your mind. It's to use it for Him. And you will benefit, and I will benefit. That reason is to serve God. And if you let Him control your mind, He will be served. You know, mankind has become so proud, and in this country has such a sense of entitlement, or in other words, you owe me. You know, that's the mantra of people today. If you watch, there's certain television stations, and I admit I watch old westerns. There's stations that are set up just for you, targeting older people. Wow, did I say that about myself? Those are in midlife. To engage in lawsuits. Have you been harmed by cancer? If you lived here at this point in time, you can get money. You might not even have to go to court. That's all they put out. It's propaganda. Okay? It's a sense of entitlement. And people today think that they're entitled to know everything before they make their choice. Well, in Acts 17, chapter verse 21, we see Paul in Athens on Mars Hill. And the Greeks then, they spent all their time either wanting, the Bible says, in nothing else, but either seeking to tell something or learning something new. In other words, they were very nosy. They were busybodies. They were poking their nose in everybody else's business. And they were extremely wicked people. They were idolatrous. They used fornication and sodomy in their religious practices. That's the kind of people they were. But they were very concerned that they would not, they didn't want to leave out any gods, as Paul said. So they had a image to the unknown God, and Paul spoke to them about the true God. Because they thought that God's plan of salvation was just not sophisticated enough for them. We're the most intelligent people in the world, and your Bible is just ignorant. It's too simple. That's what we hear today, isn't it? Man thinks he is in control of his mind and his destiny without God. I'm in control. There either is no God or God doesn't control me. That means that Satan's in charge. The truth is, if we're not a Christian, Satan is using us. We are a tool of Satan if we are not a Christian. There is no middle ground. Jesus Christ said that in Matthew chapter 6, verse 24. No man can serve two masters. You cannot ride the fence. We can fool ourselves and think we are. We can do that. Self-deceit. But as we see in, as I said earlier, in Revelation chapter 12 and verse 9, and also 2 Corinthians, Satan is in control of the minds of the world. The verse in Revelation, so then the great dragon was cast out, that serpent of old called the devil and Satan, who deceives the whole world. He was cast to the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. You know, someone might say, back to when Satan tempted Christ on the mountain, and Satan told Christ, said, "You see all the," he said, he showed him all the kingdoms of the world. And he said, "If you'll just fall down and worship me, I'll give it all to you." And people might think, well, he can't do that. God, that's God's world. He wasn't talking about buildings. He wasn't talking about things like, he was talking about the minds of people. The kingdoms of the world are controlled by Satan. Also, 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 3 and 4. So by allowing God to control us, he controls our entire being. That's very important, considering God is the one who's going to decide our eternal destiny. He is the judge. We need to understand and remember that this mind control, this propaganda that is spit out by the world around us, is directly in opposition to God. And it's easy, and I find myself being drawn into, letting that affect me too much. We need to put that over on the shelf. We need not to be so drawn into the things that we see and hear around us when we know it's wrong. Let's just turn it off, because we are really bombarded with it. Let's consider where it comes from. Ultimately, it comes from Satan. And then let's consider where the source of truth and the promise of eternal salvation come from, and that is, of course, is from God. There's only one choice for us, really, and that is to choose God. Jesus said in John chapter 4:14 and verse 6, "I'm the way, I'm the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me." There's only one way to God, and that's through his Son. So I hope that the next time you get in an elevator, regardless of what happens, you just be your normal self. Okay? As you go out tomorrow, you go back to work, you go whatever your routine is, look at the world as the world. And remember, we're not part of that. Okay? Be God's child. Stand for yourself. Use your mind. And don't let it be influenced by evil. I hope that that's been helpful to you this morning. If you have not accepted God, if you have not obeyed him and been converted to become a Christian, you have that opportunity. And I know that we can help you if you want to do that, as we stand and sing our closing song.